today's news. Hello, welcome to Old News, a programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, what else can it be this week but the Manx Grand Prix? Been around all my lifetime, and quite a bit before that. And, of course, has featured in the papers, often with some of the same sort of issues. Delays, financial losses, inability to run the event, perhaps changes, and so forth. If we go to the Peel City Guardian of Saturday, July the 16th, 1932, we read that the committee of the Manx Grand Prix are leaving no stone unturned in their efforts to make this year's races the best of the series. And in view of the general trend of general conditions, it is hoped their efforts will meet with success. Entries are up to the normal level so far, and inquiries promise well. The Alabama is again represented by the entry of Mr. H.L. Mills of Onken, or on Onken, as it says here, who rode last year and has again entered the junior race riding a Velocette. The experience gained last year will no doubt be to his benefit this year. I'm sure it would do. The Peveril Club, of which Mr. Mills is a member, it is hoped will again provide club competition for their very beautiful Gill Trophy. Last year they provided a team entry in Messrs. Harding, Mills and Bucknell. Harding, of course, is debarred from riding this year on account of his entry in the TT. The annual Midnight Cabaret, organised and run by the Manx Grand Prix Committee in aid of their funds, has been definitely settled to take place early next month. Midnight Cabaret. Rather like the sound of that. Don't think it goes on anymore, though, does it? If we skip forward to the Ramsey Courier of Friday, September the 8th, 1939, a short, just 4 or 5 line piece in the paper, Manx Grand Prix cancelled. The Manx Motorcycle Club, the promoters of the Manx Grand Prix races, decided at a meeting on Friday night to cancel the races in view of the international situation. Practicing was to have commenced on Monday. And you don't get any prizes in history for guessing what that international situation led to. To the Isle of Man Times, post-war now, Saturday, September the 4th, 1948. Hail the Manx Grand Prix! A long piece is entitled. Monday sees the start of the greatest weekend all the year for hundreds of motorcycle racing enthusiasts, for the Manx Grand Prix is to them what the amateur championships are to athletes and golfers, the most important events in their calendar. Motorcycle racing may be the one sport where amateurism has never been properly defined. Perhaps it cannot, but in everything but name, the Manx Grand Prix realise what tremendous strides have been made, not only in speed, but in reliability and comfort. A fortnight ago, the Ulster TT was won by an Italian on an Italian machine, and British supremacy was also threatened by the Italians in our own senior TT this year, while in the lightweight TT, both the post-war races have been won by the Italian Guzzis, with Irish and English riders up. In fact, we have to go back to 1936 to get a British win in this race when Bob Foster won on a new Imperial. British manufacturers are far too busy exporting motorcycles to devote their attentions to the experimental side so necessary to success in racing. Or at least that's their excuse. And for the most part, their models differ little from the pre-war designs, with one or two notable exceptions. And only when they are once again free to enter fully into the field of international rivalry will we be able to assess the full value of the product of British brains and labour as compared with the achievements of our foreign competitors. There appears to be some doubt as to the government's intentions in their revised policy of assistance for the MGP. This year, the Manx government guarantee the promoters against loss up to £1,000, and some members of the promoting club appear to be of the opinion that in the event of an unsuccessful race period, the government will not give them the promised assistance unless they have exhausted the nest egg of £1,500, which was rightly set aside in the event of a major loss. As I said, a long piece, it goes on to say, the Manx Grand Prix is our very own event, begun as the amateur road race a quarter of a century ago. This was writing, of course, in 1948. And that makes us feel rather older than we like, when there was a serious danger of the TT races being lost to the island because the ACU threatened to take them to the continent, and the object was to replace the TT by the September event, which would have been moved forward to June. Of course, that's forgotten now in many ways. Yes, the TT could have been lost to the island, and this was the idea originally, to have this race running in September and then move it to the June window. Happily, the article goes on, that has not been necessary. The island has retained the TT in a successful partnership with the ACU, so to speak, and relations between the two are of the best. No praise is too high for the men who started this event, which has grown in importance by leaps and bounds until now. Well over 200 entries are catered for, nearly 300 last year, and there are actually 170 individual riders. Nothing like it can be seen anywhere else in the world, and the island may well be proud of the Manx Grand Prix. Wouldn't disagree there. Also, in 1948, the Isle of Man Times, an article Saturday, May the 1st, petrol for the Manx Grand Prix, sanctioned by ministry at last, they're not going to race far without it, must be saved from other sources. The 1948 Manx Grand Prix is assured now that petrol for the races has been sanctioned, as shown by this official statement issued from government office on Thursday. And the statement reads, after consultation with the Ministry of Fuel and Power, His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor is now able to announce that the Manx Grand Prix races can be held this year on the understanding that petrol required for these races will be saved from other sources under the control of the island authorities. He is now giving immediate consideration in conjunction with the Petrol Rationing Advisory Committee as to how most fairly this undertaking can be honoured. The whole island will join with us in welcoming this decision, the article says, the only possible one if justice was to be done to the greatest amateur motorcycling event in the world, which last year attracted the record entry of 286. And of course, it's amazing to think 1948, so 3 years after the war had ended, rationing for petrol still very much in place. The attempt to save the necessary 5,000 gallons of petrol by economising in other directions will also meet with general approval, the article says. The general public would like to see the pub crawlers' petrol cut out. And no doubt a lot of petrol can be saved in runs of the joyride type, while people who have so-called essential petrol often use it for non-essential purposes, while some people are hard put to it to make their issue cover their legitimate business demands. Taxis and sharers seem to have unlimited supplies of petrol for pub crawling all over the island. It has been calculated that many times the 5,000 gallons needed for the Manx Grand Prix could be saved on the air services alone. In the island we use 5,000 to 6,000 gallons a day, rising to 10 to 12,000 in the height of the season. The Rationing Advisory Committee have a difficult task, admittedly, but some people have difficulty in justifying their use of their cars at some of these social engagements where cars can be seen. Well, the races did go ahead. It's also a piece in the same article, Good Entries for Car Races. The latest information about the car races to be held in the island on May the 25th is that the entry promises to make this the best supported car race meeting held here since before World War I. Among those competing in the Empire Trophy event are last year's winner, F.R. Gerard, who also won the car race in Jersey on Thursday, and the famous Raymond Mays. Both will be driving ERAs. Negotiations are in progress between the organisers and several of the leading continental drivers. We go to 1949, the following year, in the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, January the 29th. The Manx Grand Prix losses, deficit of nearly £1,300 on last year's races. Government assistance being sought, we're told. The postponement of the Junior Manx Grand Prix from the Tuesday until the Wednesday last year because of bad weather conditions, the fog was thick on the mountain, nothing new there then, and the introduction of a public address system at various vantage points around the TT course were largely responsible for a loss of nearly £1,300 on last year's MGP. It was revealed at the annual meeting of the Manx Motorcycle Club, organisers of the races, at Collison's Cafe on Wednesday, when the Reverend R.H. Reid, chairman, presided over around 40 members. In his annual report, the chairman referred in sympathetic terms to the passing of two MGP stalwarts, Percy Keswick and Vint Ainley, both of whom had given service to the utmost of their physical limits. They were all the poorer for their passing, and he paid tribute to their work and memory. The year, he said, had been a difficult one, calling for difficult decisions, and their gratitude should be expressed to His Excellency and Deemster Cowley for what they had done in securing the necessary petrol for the running of the races. The number of intending entrants reached almost embarrassing proportions, and they had to limit entries to 100 in each race. 100 in each race, wow. A public address system at various points around the course had been installed for the first time, but it cost the club over £343, against which they had received only £55.05 in contributions from interested parties. In the Times of May the 3rd, 1957, we read the sad news of a Manx Grand Prix rider drowning, not on the course, I hasten to add, swept overboard from a yacht. Formerly a Manx Grand Prix rider who 4 years ago was third in the junior clubman's TT and fifth in that year's senior clubman's, 35-year-old Jack Bottomley of Prestwich, Lancashire, was swept overboard and drowned in heavy seas near Land's End on Friday when he and his wife and a friend, Mr. Fred Hill, were sailing the yacht Faith from St. Ives to Anglesey. Mrs. Bottomley and Mr. Hill clung to a broken mast for 24 hours before being rescued by the 7,000-ton coaster Gleddick on Saturday. Jack Bottomley, who was very well known on the island, owned 3 Manchester motorcycle shops and during the war had served in the Navy as a petty officer and won the DSM. Mr. Bottomley and his wife had no children. Both were keen on sailing and recently sold a boat and bought the Faith in which they were making their first trip. And finally, in the same year, 1957, in the Isle of Man Times of August the 16th, selling the Manx Grand Prix, over 7,000 leaflets advertising the Manx Grand Prix have been issued to mainland clubs and motorcycle agents. This is part of the pre-race publicity campaign conducted by Mr. Charles Fothergill on behalf of the Tourist Board, and the leaflets have been provided by Motorcycling. In addition, 1,000 copies of a Manx Grand Prix news sheet are sent out at intervals to clubs and agents, giving the latest news of the forthcoming events, the aim of the news sheets being to keep the races well to the fore. And we read that there were 118 in the newcomers race to be held on Monday, September the 2nd, and closed on Saturday with a total of 118. The senior event has attracted 40 entrants, the junior 78, both races over 4 laps of the Snaefell circuit to be run simultaneously. And then we have a list of the practices. And of course, in those days, there would indeed be the morning practices. Remember those? I used to love them in the TT. 5:45 to 7:45 a.m. Manx Grand Prix practices, and then 6 to 8 p.m. the newcomers going out a little bit earlier than they do now. The MGP, still happily going. It's seen some changes. It still sees changes, and no doubt it will see more changes. But let's hope it continues for a good number of years yet. Petrol allowing, of course. It's all old news. More on the podcast as usual. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.